Chapter 8. Flaylin only caught part view and hear of this stop. He started, when he dropped to the tiley floor, to see only people's shoes. As King walked through, to use the same thing, he cobbled up his footsteps click-clack, wobbled the sound did back and forth the cavernous hall. Flaylin McDrab could hear the air trestling stood up of the train, and King to a courtesan said something that Flay's low head could not pick up, like, "Quite a time of it in our fall palace, right?" The scour of cloth and heel on floor got closer, and then blur like door opening, fur uncoarse and low cut on 2 feet before his eyes. Just then it dawned that flies of all kinds stopped buzzing, and all was but silence. Dozing and dids had fenced the draught in, but now breeze could be heard, felt again. No one dare sneeze. The men and women and boys and girls all froze, like his highness, whose curls fell slight a mess as he stared at the prone figure at his feet. His head never was thrown, except bed, at any angle but straightforward. His stylist would cut his bangs with fists if he thought King would e'er look down. But down he looked, and Flay had nearer books than he had in library in the King's feet. F stared. Though free to move, not scared, he decided not to. The King let loose softly. Then crude caboose of the royal train at the top of the staircase. All sat, tied noise lace tight so that Miss Quiet was perfect. The King said, to try it like fed food tasted, not swallowed. He smirked, then carried on. Ball owed on other lawns, his entourage fastly courted it. But the King soon stopped, vastly made swing about, cape and all, and with extended finger his hand stayed and lingered in the direction of Flaylin McDrab, still on the floor. Above his pawn height, F heard many gasps from the crowd. The King turned. Men grasped F. King, unspurned by any more fallen in his sight, quickly made out the hall. Then they stayed, staring after him for a long while. Then all rose and bore their eye and nose in Flaylin's direction. But Flaylin eluded their inspection mood, led by some attendants up and briskly out the hall, a puppet. Through the walls, he could hear the muffled commotion. "What's that noise?" as he shuffled to boys that did the shuffling. They stared him, then each other. One saying, "Oh, brother, you don't know anything." Second said, "The king has picked you, the thing known as a royal audience. You're the first in a time, so hence the buzz and chime of the courtiers." "Where?" F began to ask. "We're taking you there. Prepare to meet his highness." "Why, the king moves so quickly and flies entangledly, so that we must take you by a labyrinth route to catch up." Through a chute of a hallway they walked at breakfoot speed. Suddenly one mocked their space, cuddly dressed in furs. "Quickly come," he shouted to the two. "What has—" "It's something too dreadful with the train. We must leave you and assist." Some 3 chefs passed like mist. Flay was pushed towards them. "He has audience. Be sure he sees king at pasture." Then the two and furred one rushed on. The halted chefs began then, and like clefts on a measure, led way and signaled changes through corridors, saying few words but much in stares to Flay. They led him lower through new-lit lanterns. Her they fastly approached, a silhouette, and yet a presence broached to bet she was head chef. They tapped on shoulder, explained his brief rap, and again mist-like stole away. The tall woman eyed Flaylin, asked him, "So what's all to bask in you that the king wants?" Flay shrugged. "I'm happy, I guess," sauntered over high lady chef. "The only happy people I hear of are lonely and fear-crazy killers. Now, you're not a killer, are you?"
"No."
"Sure?"
"Yes, I am."
"Phew!" said she. "You had me might worried there," throwing arm around with right hand, harm not intended, patting his back and shaking hands left. "King's audience. Bands of folks have tried. Must have done something special. Name's Ebony. Have one? Name?" Flaylin almost forgot, it being such a time since thought of his name. Mimed he for a while, then said, "Flaylin. Flaylin McDrab." "First time. I've fed and blabbed here some while," he said, hands motioning to kitchens, seemed lands. "I've thought ditching the business a couple times, but here, in this place, you have double the face to talk to and appeal to." She walked him around it. All through his shoulder's mitt her arm was. Ebony tasted soups and salads, black bison meat, breast. Lads with puffy hats bustling to and fro. She explained, trussling F, she ordained him her shadow, and all treated him accepted under the tall, kept head of Ebony, acted as if he wasn't there. Flay said little, felt cared and treated like a child who sees his mother's work, co-workers mild, no jerks, and mom in different light. Flaylin pointed to cloth in sight everywhere. Broth, salted, and peppered, E answered McDrab's question even before he asked. Son, you're right. That's the king's train. It's down here, too. Though it's been main untouched by its knots and growth, I reckon it's been, 10-20 hours since Beck and Calty has been down here with King to help him untangle. A thing of light dangled to the side, approaching. It was tears from a young girl chef's eyes, singing songs so ballady, it seemed. For now she was quiet, except stream's sight, sobs tied its hearing to. Ivory! Shouted Ebony. Oh, what's wrong, baby? Let go Flaylin's shoulders, hugging Ivory tight. All three chugging the kitchen alley along. Ebony spoke whispered consolations. Ivory choked, face done all up with grief and woe. E, comforting, then said, Now, Vo, look who is head to King's audience. He's following me a bit, then he's to see. Eyes lit up some and quieted. There now, you'll be better, E said. She sent letters of care through her hold. Man with trays busted through. Shout he did a banter bout at Ivory. Ebony snarled and pounced on him, cursed many cusses quick terse, then turned instantly to her protectee and calmed her with soft through words, balms to her soul. Flaylin's smile and heart widened, happy the while through. With chappy handshake and sang, Luck, Ebony bid him you. Ivory, tucked safe, too, said goodbye, though still sobbing some. E showed him hallway, shortcut to pasture, and said that he'd be right on time. Pure as ever, the two moved, thir so proved.